So when Martin Emmy asked me to preach on generous love, I thought, yeah, it's great. Who doesn't want to talk about love, particularly God's generous love for our lives? And then I saw a little hyphen and another word, and it said money. Generous love, money. And I was like, oh. I said, because we just don't really like to talk about money much, I think. Maybe it's an English thing or it's kind of a privacy thing, but I was in a CAF long ago, and I was speaking to a guy there, and he said, oh, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a priest. And he said, oh, do people still do that then? I said, yeah, there's a few of us. And he said, can I tell you something? And when you've told someone you're a priest and they say that, you never know where it's going to go. It could go anywhere. And I said, yeah, sure, tell me. He said, the problem with the church, right? And I was like, oh, here we go. And he said, is all you ever do is talk about money. And I kind of went away and I thought, actually, I don't know if that's true. I don't hear many messages on money, or at least balanced, healthy messages on money. So please do, because it's hard when you're preaching not to come across as either too simplistic or too prescriptive. So please do take your time. Go away, pray about what you feel God is saying through this message. A comedian once said, I'm so broke, I can't even afford to pay attention. But I hope that is not true today, because I hope that this sermon doesn't come across as guilting juicing. That is not what this is about. This is about God's generous love into our lives. It's our response to his generous love through Jesus Christ. So I want you to use your imagination. Can you remember the first time that you saw a payment of money in your account? The first time you saw a payment of money in your account. Maybe it was a student loan, or maybe the first time you got full benefits, or your first holiday job pay. How did it feel seeing that money in your account? You know, when I was 13, I got a holiday job in my uncle's restaurant in the city. Because I was 13, I was only allowed to do 3 hours a day. And I had to get a letter from my headmaster to say that my uncle was, number one, not going to put me in the kitchen, and number two, send me up a chimney. So I was allowed to do 3 hours a day, and I got £5 an hour. So by the end of the first week, after 5 days, I had £75 in my account as a 13-year-old. And it's a huge amount of money. I was so excited and overwhelmed by that amount of money that I was paralyzed, and I just kept it, and I didn't spend it because I just didn't want to lose that money. I was so excited. And I think it's so tempting when we think about our money to think, actually, that's what it is. It's just ours. Just like Gollum, it kind of is like his precious ring. A while back, a company I was working for made a mistake. They put £5,000 in my account. So I woke up one morning and I opened my app and I saw this £5,000, and I thought, oh, isn't that lovely? They want to privately gift me this money just to say thank you, Marcus, for all that you do. And so in bed, I then started thinking, but in 10 minutes, of how I could spend this £5,000. After 10 minutes, I was already £6,000 in debt. I'd spent so much money. I was thinking of a new holiday, maybe we could go to Tokyo, or a new 60-inch TV, how I could take my wife out for dinner. Then I started to think, it's a mistake, isn't it? It is a mistake. I'm going to have to email them. I'm going to have to email them and ask them, is this a gift or is it a mistake? So I sent an email. You know, hi, is this a lovely gift, this £5,000, or actually, have you sent it a mistake? A week goes by, and I had no response. So I thought, no news is good news. But I couldn't shake the feeling that I know I can't spend this money because it's not meant to be there. I sent another email. Then I got a reply. Dear Marcus, thanks so much for letting us know. Please send it back to our account ASAP. It was a mistake. Now, the funny thing was, I had this overwhelming sense of anger because I was like, how dare they? They put that money in my account and now they want me to send it back. And I'd gone from surprised to excited to angry about what really was just imaginary money. It was never really my money in the first place. And it was amazing how I believed it was mine. The power and the idea, or the love of money, that it can have over us is so strong. Whether we have a lot or we don't have a lot, when we get it, if we're honest, a lot of times we want to keep it. It's ours, we've earned it. All the money adverts at the moment on the bank adverts seem to be about making your money work for you or having flexible money. Because our world's idea about money is this: it's your money, you keep it. And this is the same world, according to Oxfam, where the richest 1% have taken 2/3 of all new global wealth in the last 10 years. The richest 1% of our world's population has taken 2/3 of all new global wealth in the last 10 years. Do you know that's 19 trillion extra pounds to the world's 1% population? So what's the Christian idea about money and about giving? Well, the Bible says three things. Number one, it's all God's anyway. Number two, it's all about worship. And number three, it's all investment. It's all God's, it's all worship, and it's all investment. First one, it's all God's anyway. Our money is a gift from a generous and loving God who wants us all to enjoy life. How many of us think that God wants us to actually enjoy our lives? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I know some of us might find that difficult and find that hard. So not only does God want to richly provide for us, but he actually wants us to enjoy life. How often do we think God wants us to enjoy his world? How often do we think that our money and our possessions are gifts from God? James 1:17 says, every generous act of giving is from above, coming down from the Father. Our salary, our ability to work, our gifts, our opportunities to study, our loans, our benefits, they are gifts from God. And the danger is we do one of two things. We either say, I'm worth it, so it's all mine, or actually, I just want more. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, Marcus, not everybody has a lot of money, and there's a cost of living crisis, and you're right. But in my experience, I found those with little appreciate more. They have a far better understanding of what it is to receive because they don't have a lot. They receive from God. Those who have had lots maybe don't appreciate as much. In general, those who know what it's like to receive in need, I found, are far better at sharing with fellow strugglers. There was a man at an airport. He was going to catch a plane, but he had some time to kill. So he went to a newsagent's and he bought a newspaper and a bag of donuts. He looked around the restaurant and there was loads of people there. The tables were full up, but there was one table with one space left opposite a man. So he reluctantly sat down opposite this stranger. He puts his bag down on the floor. He gets his newspaper out and he begins to read. After a few minutes, he becomes hungry. He thinks, I think I want one of my donuts. So he puts his newspaper down and he opens a bag of donuts that he had bought. He put it on a table and opens it up and takes a donut. As he's eating the donut, the man opposite him puts his hand in the bag and also takes a donut, smiling kindly, and eats it in front of him. The man's thinking, what on earth is he doing taking my donuts? But he's English, so he doesn't want to kick up a fuss. So he goes back to reading his newspaper and thinks, I'll leave it this time. After about 10 minutes, he thinks, I think I'll have another donut. This time, though, he puts the newspaper down and looks the man in the eye, and he takes one of his donuts out the bag and begins eating. The man opposite him smiles kindly, but also puts his hand in the bag and takes another donut out, smiling and eating in front of him. By this time, this man is getting angry, and he thinks, I need to say something. This is ridiculous. But then he realizes he's in an airport. He can't kick off too much. You know, airports are sensitive places, and there's security. So he thinks, I'm going to leave it this one last time. So he goes back to reading his newspaper. He carries on reading. After a few minutes, he thinks, I'm going to have one more donut. Puts his newspaper down, looks the man in the eye, puts his hand in the bag of donuts, takes the donut and starts eating. The man opposite him looks at him, smiles, and puts his hand back in the bag of donuts and begins eating. By this time, our guy's had enough, and he thinks, right, that's it, I'm going to say something. And just as he's about to say something, he realizes and hears the tannoy that his flight is about to depart. So he throws down his newspaper, bends down, goes to pick up his bag, and as he goes to pick up his bag, he realizes on his bag is his unopened bag of donuts. This whole time, the man opposite him had been sharing his donuts. He had been the one who was stealing his donuts. The point is this: God owns all the donuts in the world. And everything we have is God's, that he shares with us. Everything he gives us, he gives to share with others. The second point is our giving is an act of worship. This evening when we were worshiping, we sing, we raise our hands, we pray, we can dance, we create art. When we worship, what we're saying is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your generous love in my life. Thank you for your gift of life. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. And giving our money back to God is the same thing. It's just another way to worship and to respond to God's generous love. Genesis 4, 3-5, talking about Cain and Abel, the brothers, says this: in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. See, God loved Abel's offering because he brought the first fruits of his resources and his work. Why? Because it showed that he loved God and he honored God with the best. That's why our reading today that Jacob read, third book of Corinthians. That's why our reading today in verse 7 said, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because it shows that we're giving out of a loving response to our generous God. We're giving through relationship, not reluctance. When we reflect on what God has given us from his generous love, our heart just naturally begins to worship, and our money is just part of that. As we seek to worship God with all of our life, in all areas of our life, let's not assume that our finances are not part of our worship. We can give our time, we give our talents, our serving, and we give our gifts of finance. And the third one, it's all investment anyway. For me, this is the exciting bit. This is the bit that really turned my thinking around giving. Instead of giving our money and seeing it as a tax, as a few less digits in our bank account, actually giving is investing in people's lives and in God's kingdom. We can ask ourselves, what can my money accomplish in God's kingdom, here on earth as in heaven? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Because God's kingdom is about redistribution. It's the way the world is meant to work. Money comes in and money goes out. We receive and we give. We share and we invest in the lives of others and their flourishing. And to give a very, very practical example, I don't work for Open Doors, the charity, okay? This is not an advert. It might sound like an advert, but it's not an advert. But to give a very, very kind of clear example, a £46 one-off payment to Open Doors charity, which our church supports anyway through our giving, a £46 one-off payment to Open Doors, who support persecuted Christians around the world, this winter could feed a struggling Christian family in one of these countries that are struggling with persecution for the whole of winter. Then in turn, they survive the winter. They then grow in their faith. They then ask for a Bible. They then start up a secret Bible study with their friends or their neighbors and their colleagues. This in turn, they then gather a sense of faith and a desire to support others that they know with the little they have. Before you know it, your one payment has invested in the lives of 20 to 30 other people. And as you give at St. Mark's, you can see on the leaflet here as well that we have at the back, you're welcome to look, where our money goes to, and a portion of the money that when you tithe here and you give here, it goes to support Open Doors. But I love that, the fact that one donation can invest in 20 to 30 people's different lives. Because our giving is an investment, like the ripples of a stone on the lake. Generous love sends out generous ripples into people's lives. And many in this world, many Christians cannot give. They don't have enough. But some of us can, and we can make a difference, however big or small. We are part of something bigger, joyfully investing in God's kingdom because of his generous love to us. So I just want to finish with two practical principles that might help. The first one is, people always say, well, who do I give to? I think it's easier to ask, what's my passion? What has God laid on my heart as a passion? What excites me about God's kingdom on this earth? When you pray, when I pray, ask God to bring to mind the passions that he has laid on my heart. I love languages and traveling and geography, so I naturally support overseas missions. But I also love community, and I love church, and so I give to my church. In 2022, stewardship.org.uk surveyed Christians aged 18 to 30. And you know, 71% said their top passion was to give to the local church. The next four passions were evangelism, international aid, global mission, and children and youth. But the truth is, the church has all of those anyway. And I love the fact that actually 71%, their passion was to give to the local church, which in turn can run evangelism, can give to international aid and global mission, and can give to our children and our youth. What's your passion? And give according to what excites your heart. And the second principle is, I found it's helpful to set aside our giving first. Because it's hard to decide how much we are to give, but to try to set aside our giving first before it goes on rent and food and Amazon. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion or because I'm preaching on it. For God loves a cheerful giver. For some of us, it's not the season to give. We might be hard up, we might be struggling, or at least not give lots of money. Beware not to give from false guilt, because that's not what God calls us to do. Or give so much that we can't afford to pay our bills or get food. But where we can get into the habit of setting aside our giving first, just like we would any other payment. Some give 10%, some give 5% of their earnings after tax. Some give a set figure each month. But whatever you do, I encourage you to revisit it every 3 months or every year to reassess. Is this something I can increase, or is this too much at the moment? And I've always adjusted my giving. I always reassess it every 6 months, every year. When I was a painter and decorator, work wasn't coming in for a while and I had to lower my giving because I could hardly afford to pay the bills. But then when work became more steady, I was able to increase it. So our giving can go up and down. It's important that we reassess. Those two things. Try to set it aside first and pray to God, what's your passion? What excites your heart? What does God's generous love motivate in you? God wants us and our giving to become a natural, lifelong commitment, a rhythm in our lives as part of our worship and a response to his generous love. It's all God's, it's all worship, and it's all investment. And so as we just come now to the end, we go into a time of prayer and worship. I just want us to take this reading again into our hearts and into our time. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Amen.